Blog Talk Radio.
This is the UR Tennis Network. We are the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate tennis enthusiasts who promote our sport relentlessly. We strive continuously to bring news and information for players, parents, coaches, officials, businesses, and anyone else who loves tennis. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis may not be interested in them.
Hello, and welcome to the Tennis Authority. Happy New Year's to everyone. It is 2013. I cannot believe it. We're already there. Can't believe the hustle and bustle of the holidays is already over either, but kind of glad and ready for a break. I hope you all had a great New Year's celebration. I spent some time up on the East Coast with my husband, since he's been up there working for a couple of months since Hurricane Sandy graced us with her presence, and it was great to see him, and great to have a little bit of a different atmosphere for New Year's Eve, and we had a great time, and I hope you all did as well. If this is your first time listening, welcome. Welcome to our show, and thank you for all of you returning listeners as well. You heard a brief intro at the beginning of the show about who we are and what we do. As far as our network goes, we are here to represent those that feel they're underrepresented in this sport. And here at the Tennis Authority, we do that by bringing tennis industry to you. So, you know, maybe some mom and pop type places, not necessarily the big names all the time that you know about, but other organizations, people, products that don't have the notoriety that some of the bigger names do, we bring those to you. And I love getting to do that and speaking with each of these people and learning about them and how they got started. And it's just so fun, so exciting. And I know you guys all love hearing about it as well. So welcome. Welcome, everyone. If you're not a fan of our Facebook page, you can find us at Facebook.com/ The Tennis Authority, and you do need the word the. And also you can find our network at Facebook.com/ UR Tennis Network. And that is spelled with the letter U, the letter R10S, so UR Tennis Network. So find us on Facebook. And you can also find our network website at urtennis.com. That's actually under construction right now. And if you want to see what shows we have upcoming, you can find us at www.thetennisauthority.com. I've made a few changes. I need to make a whole lot more. Looking to expand my website and making it much greater in 2013. That's one of my goals for you guys. And so I am working on that, but I do have a list of who's coming up if you want to see that. I'm very excited to speak with our guest today. He was supposed to be on a couple of weeks ago and fell ill, and so glad he was able to come back. He has a great website. It's ultimatetennisart.com. So if you're at a computer while listening to this, pull that up because you're going to want to see what he's got while we're talking to him today. So very excited to share his story with you and talk with him. I also can't forget this. I need to tell my husband happy birthday. It is his birthday. I won't sing or I'll lose a few listeners, but happy birthday to Keith. And thank you for listening, and I love you, and I'll talk to you later. What else do we have going on? So just in the news, I read this morning that Victoria Azarenka, you know, she was supposed to play Serena Williams today in the semifinals, and she had to pull out because of a bad pedicure, it said. So the headlines make it sound kind of like it was a, excuse, but it does happen. It definitely does happen. Now, someone like Azarenka, I wouldn't expect to be the place where that could happen, but I guess it did. So you do have to be careful when you get those pedicures, and you can catch infections that way. So I think she could have probably pushed through and probably would have if it was something like the Australian Open, but since that's just around the corner, she needed to save her body and heal up for that. So interesting news. Also, I have an announcement from Babolat. Bob Rash, who's the rep down here in Texas and Louisiana, forwarded this to me, and he's going to be on our show coming up sometime in the near future, maybe in February. They're hosting an event at T-Bar-M in Dallas. Those of you that are in Dallas, will be Monday and Tuesday, January 14th and 15th. This is a very exciting thing. It's going to start around 9 a.m. and says it'll go until 4 or 5. They're going to be testing some of their products. On Monday, it's going to be for rackets. And he is looking for players between the ages of 15 and 35. And on Tuesday, they're going to be testing strings. And he's looking for players of all ages. And it doesn't sound like there's a any requirements on what level of play you are. Just for the rackets, you need to be between the ages of 15 and 35. And for the strings, anyone can participate in that. He's looking for 4 to 8 players per hour each day. That's quite a few. The format will be that you will hit with the new rackets and or the string for about 20 minutes and then answer some questions with their marketing and product development team. And if you participate in the study, you'll get this cool battle up flag, he says, and a chance to shape the future of a few of our newest products. So that's awesome. They're actually reaching out to, you know, the everyday player out there, and not just the professionals, but, you know, people like you and I who just love the game. And they're looking to us for our feedback. So that's wonderful. So, again, that will be in Dallas, Texas at TBRM. Those of you that are from the area know about TBRM. If you have any questions about that or want to get in contact with Bob, you can contact me at info@thetennisauthority.com. Again, info@thetennisauthority.com. I will put you in touch with him. But he's looking for quite a few people. So if you're in the area and interested, again, just let me know. All right. Well, we are going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be back and bring on our guests.
Alternative Lighting and Power is a renewable energy solutions-focused company with an emphasis in helping athletic facilities. We would like to upgrade your tennis complex to the 21st century. We offer a range of services that will upgrade your tennis complex. We can use our technology to make your facility virtually disappear from the energy grid. We can provide lights, scoreboards, scoring systems, cooling systems, heating systems, camera systems, covered seating areas, wastewater management, and even new buildings. Our company is located in Houston, Texas, but we provide services to all 50 states and internationally. We would love to visit with you about our opportunities. Please contact Ed Love at 832-549-4193 or email at elove@alternativel-p.com. You can also visit our website at www.alternativel-p.com. We are the sunny side of business.
All right, and welcome back to the Tennis Authority. I am Natalie Shalene Fox, your host for the show today. I want to go ahead and give out our phone number before I forget, 714-583-6853. Again, 714-583-6853. If you have a question for myself or our guest as we get into the show, feel free to call in. We love our listeners, and we love hearing from you. So without much further ado, I will bring on our guest. Again, if you're at your computer, you want to go to his site so you can see what we're talking about as we talk through it today, because you have to see it to fully appreciate it. It's ultimatetennisart.com, and his name is Mike Weinstein, and let's bring him on. Let me get him here. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Natalie. Nice to finally speak to you.
Isn't it? Yes. How are you?
I'm very good. First of all, I want to wish your husband, Keith, a very happy birthday, and he's so lucky to be married to a wonderful person like yourself, because I hear you do so much to promote, you know, tennis for all people, all different countries, all different places, all different ages. It's really the greatest sport.
Well, that is so kind of you. Thank you. And I know he thanks you as well for the wishes. So
sure.
Did you have a great New Year's?
I had a terrific New Year's. I was the one in Times Square throwing tennis balls into the air. I don't know I hope he didn't get hit with one.
No, we didn't actually.
But, all right. You always have to have some fun.
That's right, you do, and there's no better
way
to have fun than with tennis.
That's right.
So tell our listeners where you're calling in from.
Okay, I'm calling in from the land of the Hurricane Sandy, Long Island, New York.
Mm-hmm.
I live and work about a half an hour from the U.S. Open in Flushing Meadows. And it's always been kind of a privilege to live within a short drive of the Open. and I love tennis.
Fantastic. So how did you get your start playing tennis?
Well, I'll tell you in a minute, but first I wanted to make a comment. I thought it was kind of funny about Victoria Azarenka losing or being out of a match because of a pedicure. If of all people, I would have thought she'd lose it because of her voice, screaming, grunting, that type of thing. I lost my voice, as you know, about a week or so ago, and I'm still looking for it. But hopefully I'll get through this okay. I got started in tennis. I'm in my 40s. I got started in tennis as a kid. I never played professional. I played, I guess, elementary school and middle school and high school. I was on the high school team. I never played professionally in college. But it's one of those sports where I loved. I really truly think it's the greatest game ever, and I've always had a passion for it.
Awesome.
And
that's
really how I got into tennis.
And are you still playing today?
I'm still playing today. I do play. I'm in New York, and it is rather cold here. It's in the low 30s, so if I can find an indoor court, that's always great. But most of the time, it's springtime, summer, fall.
Yes. And so you are a little different as far as our guests go, because most of our guests are, I guess, a little more heavily involved in tennis as a professional career. But tell our listeners what you do.
I guess what's unique about I do is I've always loved tennis. I've always loved art. I was always one within an hour drive from New York City. I'd go with relatives and my grandfather and other people to museums, and I always loved to see artwork. And, in fact, it was my grandfather who was painting up until age 96 when he passed away. So he was always a artist, and I guess in his last couple of years, I decided to take up painting as a hobby. And to be honest, it was after the tragedy of 9/11. I had lost a cousin who was a New York City firefighter who was halfway up the World Trade Center. And I guess as a distraction from my work, as a hobby, I took up painting. And what better to paint than tennis?
Yeah.
I knew of nothing else that I wanted to paint, so I started painting tennis scenes, started out with tennis balls, tennis courts, and it became probably obsessive. And I did ask my grandfather at one point, what do you think? And his answer was, don't quit your day job. So really what happened to me is I started looking to see online several years ago what other people have painted tennis, maybe to learn from them. To see what else has been done. You know, I've played in many indoor courts, and sometimes in the lobby or sometimes behind the front desk, there is either a poster or a painting. Most likely it's a poster. So I started to look and see what's available, you know, as far as people who paint tennis, and boy was I amazed. I found paintings of players. I found sculptures made of bronze. I found things ranging from a decorative wine glass all the way up to a life-size bronze statue that was $44,000 that someone had for sale. So I was kind of blown away with really, this is a great sport, and most people love art, and why not combine the two? So I decided a few years ago to start a site by basically listing other works of art from mostly people in the U.S., but there are some people that live out of the U.S. We're represented by people in France, Italy, Israel, Australia, Canada, and probably one or two other countries. But the more I searched, and maybe that's the beauty of Google, the more I searched, the more I found out. And everything just kind of came into play a couple years back.
Very good. And so do you actually sell any of your works of art on the site?
I do sell. There are a couple of my works. They're probably, in all honesty, not the best works on the site, of course. But we do have some really great works of art, some of them by some pretty famous artists. Just as an example, there's a very famous pop artist named Romero Brito, B-R-I-T-T-O. He's down in Miami. He is a superstar, you know, when it comes to modern art and pop art. There's another artist, Ed Massey, M-A-S-S-E-Y. He's in California. He does some really great works. Romero Brito has two different tennis works of art that we have, you know, for sale. A lot of people collect his work, so it's pretty precious. And Ed Massey, in his own right, he designed what I thought was so unique was a tennis coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually on the site. The way my site works is anybody who goes to www.ultimatetennisart, there are basically three categories. One is, and they're all represented by what else but three tennis balls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first one is tennis scenes, which is pretty general in nature. The second category is tennis players, specific stadiums and tournaments. And the third category, which I always found most interesting, was, and we call it tennis art of furniture, glass, jewelry, and sculpture. So an artist like Ed Massey designed a coffee table filled with tennis balls. There are other people. One artist designed a chair made out of tennis balls. So it really has some unique stuff. There's a hanging mobile. There's jewelry, tennis jewelry. There's sculpture. But not everything is expensive. We have some things like glasses. Someone came up with the idea, instead of just a martini glass, they called it Martini Navratilova instead of Martina, which I thought was kind of cute. So we have all different works of art, a lot of original pieces of art, and there are also prints and things that are less expensive.
Yes, and I want to say I've been looking for cufflinks for years. I cannot tell you how many years. So I'm definitely going to be ordering those because there are some adorable tennis rackets
very
and ball cufflinks.
Very classy. Just think, anybody in the world of tennis, you know, they've probably been to a black tie affair.
Mm-hmm.
And what cooler thing to show up with some tennis cufflinks.
That's right. And these are one of the very much affordable items on your site.
Definitely affordable, and a lot of the stuff on the site is meant to be fun. I mean, tennis is truly a competitive sport, but there's also so much fun, you know, in tennis. There's items that are geared towards children. To name a few, we have a piece called Cross Court Mickey, you know, with Mickey Mouse.
Uh-huh.
We have things like Babar. We have clowns, you know, playing tennis.
Uh-huh.
You know, we have things geared towards children, like children playing tennis or loving tennis lessons or classes of tennis. You know, a lot of those works are really geared towards the future stars of tennis, which are obviously kids.
Yes. And you mentioned the tennis ball chair earlier, and how have you sat in that? I'm just curious as to how comfortable that is.
I actually sat in that. The artist actually lives in Brooklyn, New York. It was a very cool thing to sit in it. I can't say that I bought one. my wife says the colors don't go with my living room. but maybe someday I will. But we really have some I think what's called funky stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We have some Christmas tree ornaments.
Mm-hmm.
For any of your listeners out there who have a barn, which I have no idea, you know, how many that may be, we have tennis weather vanes.
Yes.
There are companies that make a weather vane that will go on top of a barn.
Yes.
I don't have a barn on Long Island, but maybe if I lived in the middle of Texas, I would.
That's
and
right.
I would definitely buy one of those.
I love it. I don't have a barn either, but I was looking at it because I really like
right.
it.
It's really interesting what kind of art I found.
Mm-hmm.
There is somebody out there who makes sculptures out of license plates.
Yes.
And I want to assure your listeners they're not made in any prison. but there are some very, very creative people out there.
Mm-hmm.
And probably like in the rest of the art world, there are some very way out people out there.
Mm-hmm.
If I can give you an example, someone did a, this is true, they did a painting. It's called Playing Tennis with a Cow, if you could imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
I really couldn't, but, you know, that person did, and it's, you know, in its own right, it's a work of art.
Yeah.
There is a famous, just come to think of it, there is a famous bronze sculpture, which I'm sure you and your listeners know. It's basically of a man sitting and thinking.
Sure.
And I think it's called, actually, The Thinker.
Uh-huh.
It's from an artist, I think it's Rodin of Paris.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely popular image. So someone actually took that, sort of redid it, the man sitting and thinking, exactly like the famous Rodin bronze statue, except they put a tennis ball and a tennis racket in there.
Cute.
So I thought that was, it was a cute kind of offshoot. I was reading back a couple months ago, and it was probably the summer, there's a very famous artwork called The Scream. I don't know if you've heard of it or your listeners have heard of it, but it's basically a Norwegian expressionist painter. His name is Edvard Munch, and it's called The Scream. That painting, believe it or not, sold for $120 million.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is, I think, broke every record in the book. And
mm-hmm.
it was sold at an auction, I think it was Christie's, over the summer. Someone,
mm-hmm.
probably out of their mind, paid $120 million.
Wow.
But the fun thing is, I found somebody who painted the same thing called The Scream, and
uh-huh.
the person mm-hmm. is screaming, just like the original picture, but he also has a tennis racket in his hand. So I thought that was
wow.
a very cute, clever, you know, takeoff on and one of the greatest artworks of all time.
Absolutely, that is.
Yeah.
How many artists do you work with?
Well, what I do is I basically have found artists. Some are obviously professional artists whose works are in galleries. Those tend to be the more expensive items on the site. Many of those works are originals, oil paintings, one-of-a-kind works. Those generally are $300 on up. The most expensive item on the site, I think, is $44,000, and that's a life-size bronze statue. But typically, the artists, the original paintings, are anywhere between $300 and about $2,000. There are some very, very original paintings from some pretty famous, you know, players. Just to name a few, Serena Williams, Venus Williams, John McEnroe, Agassi, Federer, of course, and most of the big players, they're all mentioned in that middle category, which is the tennis players, stadiums, and tournaments. But the answer to your question is there's probably about 40-something different artists, and all in all, there's probably about 160 different works. Ranging from probably the least expensive items, which are actually very, very popular, like for college students, or really anybody, even kids, tennis ball, glass tennis ball paperweight,
mm-hmm.
or a tennis wine glass or martini glasses. Those items are generally around $20. And then there's, of course, original works and different works like hanging mobiles and the furniture and things like that.
Yes, and I want to say for the listeners, there's definitely something for everybody. It's not just paintings, lots of novelties also, and like you said earlier, jewelry, and in every price range. This is I think, any tennis player's little hidden, secret of I'm always looking for something interesting and different, tennis-related, and I've never seen anything quite as unique as this. So absolutely.
Sure, everyone. I agree 100%, and thanks for saying that. There really is something for everybody. I mean, kids, most kids know Mickey Mouse, but parents or grandparents know Babar the elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's things like, there's a California artist named Will Bullis, B-U-L-L-A-S. He does a picture of ducks playing tennis or gorillas playing tennis. And it's really meant to be fun. There's an artist that specializes in hanging mobiles, and she has done on several artists, I should point out, incorporate, and I have a dog myself, several mm-hmm. artists incorporate dogs in tennis balls.
Yeah.
Most people with a dog know that you throw a tennis ball and a dog's going to chase after it, but there's some really nice works, in my opinion, Black Labradors, Dachshund, which is what I have, French Bulldog. So it's kind of funny. A lot of the artists probably use their own dogs or friends' dogs, and they paint them, with a tennis ball or on a court or something like that. So I think that's kind of fun. It's more personal. People out there who have a Black Lab may love the one of the Black Lab, and people who have a Dachshund, they love the Dachshund one.
I couldn't agree more. The Black Bliss is the one with the Black Lab, and I'm looking at it right now, and that is absolutely, I think, my favorite painting on here, but maybe I'm partial because I have a Black Lab. And I'm just going to describe it a little for the listeners, and
sure.
You'd probably describe it better, but it's two canvases. There's one that's a longer rectangle, and then the second canvas is a smaller square. And then on the longer rectangle, it's this dog, and he looks like he's being pulled by his
leash,
on a leash by his owner, and he's looking back, kind of up and back at a ball that's in the air, like he just longs for that ball so much. And that the ball is actually on the second canvas. I think that is just probably the most creative painting I've ever seen.
Exactly.
And
that artist, Lorena, really has a talent for that. Anybody who looks on the site and sees not only the ball, which I think is cool, like flying
uh-huh.
in the air,
but
uh-huh. the expression of the dog just
yes.
loving it, just
yes.
so happy. I
yes.
mean, I think it's beautiful.
I do too. I love that so much. It's just a priceless face on that dog,
right.
And she captured it so amazingly.
Yeah,
and
there are some very different works on that same page. There is a painting called Bull Hog, and it's really a French bulldog, but they call it Bull Hog, which
yeah.
is very colorful, and his tongue is hanging out, and he's just hanging out with five tennis balls.
That's right.
There's a lot of fun stuff. There's a lot of classic tennis, and there's a lot of abstract work. So it's really, I think, there's someone, for example, who there is something in art known as cubism, which
mm-hmm.
is a very strange, particular style. There's
mm-hmm.
another artist down in Florida who does cubism and tennis. So, and there are, of course, people who do illustrations, and all different types of art.
Yes. All right. So I shared my favorite piece. What's your favorite piece on your site? On the site.
My favorite piece is actually nobody has actually purchased this yet. And
mm-hmm.
I'm the one leaning to buy it rather soon. It's actually called Love Tennis, and it's basically on the tennis scenes category. It's actually on the fourth page. The site is a little bit hard to maneuver. It's basically got the three different categories, tennis scenes, tennis players, stadiums, and tournaments, and the third one being furniture, glass, jewelry, and sculpture. But on each of those three, there are several pages to scroll through.
Mm-hmm.
So my particular favorite, there is a, and this was done by an artist in Italy, of all places. It's called Love Tennis, and it's basically a giant heart holding a tennis racket with the sky in the background and the moon up above. And I just think it's a very abstract piece. He's got the grass, and you can see the different blades of grass on the bottom, but mm-hmm. yet he's got the stars, and right in the dead center is a heart, a red heart, holding a tennis racket, hitting the ball.
Yes. I like
I don't
that
know why, but that's my favorite.
Awesome. What's been your most, I know many of your items are unique, but what do you sell the most of on your site?
We probably sell most of the original works. And generally what happens, and at least this is the past couple of years, a tennis club or a country club or some type of tennis organization will honor somebody. And I think this is such a nice way to do this. But what's been very popular is a group of people chipping in. Let's say someone was the head tennis coach and they just retired, or someone was an assistant coach and they're moving to another college. What's been very popular is they usually have a party or a celebration of some sort, or even just acknowledging that person's birthday, and basically buying an original work that they think that person would like. So that's really been the most popular kind of purchase. We do try to reach out to colleges. There's so many great schools and so many schools that I've never even heard of who have collegiate teams, and they may not be the best. They may not be, the best in the country. But there's so many great college players who go out there all the time and just give it their all. Sometimes coaches have ordered things like a tennis ball paperweight for everybody, or, wine glasses for everybody, or, just something where everybody, would appreciate.
Absolutely. So yeah. How do you market your site?
We market the site. I actually started marketing through the regular U.S. mail. And this is going back a couple of years. But over time, we do have a site on Facebook. It's just under Ultimate Tennis Art. And anybody who went to that site, any of your listeners who go to www.ultimatetennisart, at the very top there is certainly a like us on Facebook that they can click. So that's been something that's been helpful. But we have marketed it, and it's rather tough because tennis is so popular throughout the world. And if the one thing that I learned over the past couple of years, there's so many countries with so many players and so many schools and so many programs that are into tennis. And I used to think, the biggest thing is the U.S. Open. But when I start to look at the French Open, the Australian Open, and I see tournaments in Monaco, in Toronto, in Mexico, and all different places. It's just unbelievable how tennis is loved by so many, so many people. So a lot of it's word of mouth. Someone will buy a painting, they'll tell a friend. Facebook takes a long time to develop, and we're rather new at that, so we don't have too many likes, and maybe with your help and your listeners, people could like us today on Facebook. Incidentally, on the Facebook page, we do have a lot of samples of works. We do often post someone's painting or sculpture, or Christmas time we posted the Christmas ornament and wished everybody Merry Christmas, things like that. So we do have a small sample of what's available, you know, on Facebook. There are probably 30 or 40 different pictures, but anybody who wants to check out the full inventory, you know, that's the regular ultimatetennisart.com, and I think we have about 165 different pieces of art.
All right, and I do, just for those that are just tuning in, we're talking with Mike Weinstein of Ultimate Tennis Art, and you can find all of these amazing works and goods on his website, ultimatetennisart.com. So if you're listening, you definitely want to go and view that. Mike, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. So
great.
Grab a drink of water if you need one, and we'll be right back.
Okay, great.
This is Jason Haynes, the UR Tennis Network's Chief Executive Officer. Over the last 14 months, we have undergone a lot of changes here at the UR Tennis Network, and the Nike Tennis Camps have been one of our strongest supporters. They have had a very successful 2012 summer camp season and now are planning for 2013. We would like to thank them for allowing us to be an advertising avenue for their tennis camps. As we leave the summer, we want to encourage you to check out www.ussportcamps.com and start planning your next Nike camp experience. They have locations all over the U.S. for both adults and juniors. The Nike camps are offered in other sports such as golf, volleyball, soccer, swimming, softball, running, water polo, lacrosse, and field hockey. We want to encourage you to consider the Nike camp experience for your tennis needs. These camps are run by successful tennis coaches and offer a fun camp involvement where you learn new skills and make new friends. Be sure to check them out at www.ussportcamps.com or call them at 1-800-NIKE-CAMP and take your game to the next level.
All right, and welcome back to the Tennis Authority. I am Natalie Schleen Fox, your host. We are visiting today with Mike Weinstein of Ultimate Tennis Art, and you can find him and all of his amazing pieces of work that he has available at ultimatetennisart.com, and truly something for every tennis lover out there. And even for those that aren't tennis lovers, I mean, he's even got Mickey Mouse the tennis racket. So, you know, lots of different stuff out there that may even apply to people that aren't tennis lovers. But I have always, always, always loved finding things, you know, unique things related to tennis, you know, other than a fuzzy pair of earrings, you know, just something really neat has always been a passion of mine, and I've truly found that here with Ultimate Tennis Art. Looking at a painting here, it's titled Tennis Anyone. It's got a picture of a gorilla. He's got a sweatband on, and he's up at the net with his wooden racket. I mean, just so many cute things. I would decorate my whole house in this. I don't think my husband would appreciate it. But I just cannot wait to start my collection.
Great. Thank you so much, Natalie.
And, you know, Mike, I mean, I'm looking at this, and I'm not the only person like this, you know, and we've got to get your site into more hands and more eyes, because you've got a niche here, an amazing niche, and we've got to find those customers for you, because I know they're out there. I know they are.
I know they are, too. I can tell you this, you know, if I could, I'd get a booth at the U.S. Open and be there every summer. But, you know, it's really dominated, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately for some people. It is dominated by large corporations with big, big money. And even anybody who's been there, they have some great stuff for sale there. I bought many, many sweatshirts and hats and T-shirts and I bought the beer for $12 and the burger for $18. And everything's so expensive. But art is something that you have forever. And and not to knock her at all, because I really have the tremendous respect for Maria Sharapova. But she came out with a line of candy, and she called it Sugarpova, which is cute, which is fun, which is very well marketed, and it's really backed by some big corporate dollars. And again, I have tremendous respect for her. But but candy is something that you're going to eat, that's going to go away, that you're going to run out of. And to me, I found so many artists, not only from the U.S., and again, I'll mention some other countries, the United Kingdom and Italy and Australia, Belgium, and there's so many great artists, whether they're famous or not, who do such great works of art, and to buy the original or even a lower priced print, you know, you're going to have that forever.
You're
so
right.
As great as Maria Sharapova is, and as yummy as her candy might be, I hope someone loves her enough to go buy the original Maria Sharapova painting, which I think is beautiful, mm-hmm. which is on the tennis player's middle ball category. It's basically, it was painted by an artist in Belgium who has really fine work, and it's one of those paintings that's an original. It will last forever, and it may even be a collector's item someday. So not only the high-priced paintings like that, but the other stuff, the jewelry, the paperweight, the glasses, you know, that you can have a tennis party and kind of relax and get fun with tennis. You know, those are the things that I think are appealing to a lot of the fans out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned that about the U.S. Open, how it's, you know, dominated by bigger business. And, you know, that's exactly why we at the Tennis Authority are here, to help. You know, I can't help you like you'd get like you'd have at the U.S. Open, but we're definitely doing our part to try to help people just like you. And we love that we get to do that. Have you looked at any maybe smaller tournaments? Like I know, like Indian Wells or something?
Well, we have looked at different tournaments. We really decided not to go the route of art shows or tournaments or setting up booths or setting up a spot in the parking lot. We really, you know, this day and age, there's so many things online. And at the click of a button, and I've had this happen, where a fan in Texas or Chicago or Tucson, you know, will order something, and within a few seconds, you know, the order comes through me. Mm-hmm. They pay through it with the ease of PayPal, but the artist may be in the UK, or the artist may be in Italy, or the artist may be in Australia, and due to the tremendous, like, power of the Internet, really right there, you know, we're bringing people, which are tennis players and tennis fans, and we're bringing artists basically together. And I don't think there's any other site. There's so many sites with clothing, and there's so many sites with equipment, and there's so many sites with posters. And, you know, we're not in that business. We're in a business of, really, I think, is the heart and soul of the fans, you know, connecting to the player that they like or to the scene that they like by having something that they can put in their home or give as a gift, and that's really been popular, to someone who loves tennis.
Right. I have a question a little different. How do you properly care for one of these works of art, like one of the paintings?
Most of the works of art are framed. There are a few which are not framed. They're very well, you know, wrapped and packaged and sent to the people. But there's really not a lot of care involved, just like someone would hang up a painting in their home. There's really not much you know, care involved. Things like bronze, you know, is, you really don't have to do anything, you know, to it. The glassware that we use is all dishwasher, you know, safe. So anybody wanting to order like a martini glass or a tennis ball glass, you know, paperweights, Some of the items are fragile, you know, like that, glassware. But most of the items are durable. You know, they'll be there for a long time. And particularly what I found great is that tennis clubs, in my opinion, I mean, I'm in my 40s, and I remember very early on in the early years going to a lot of different indoor tennis clubs, and they would have posters or paintings and things that had nothing to do with tennis. And more recently, you know, I've been back to those same clubs, and they'll have a picture of the U.S. Open, or they'll have a picture of the Newport Casino, you know, where the Tennis Hall of Fame is. They'll have a picture of Wimbledon. They may even have pictures of their favorite, you know, players. I don't have to tell you, but, you know, Roger Federer has millions upon millions of fans throughout the world.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of people who like Nadal better.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, everybody can pick and choose their favorite. Someone who loves Nadal or someone who loves Andre Agassi or maybe even John McEnroe. Incidentally, the painting of John McEnroe had, let me just see if I can find it quickly. I don't know if I
sure.
could. I believe, and I just wanted to double check on this, I believe the artist titled it, of all things, You Cannot Be Serious, you know, which is a famous quote from John McEnroe. So
mm-hmm.
obviously, like, the artist loved, you know, McEnroe. He had passion for him and basically decided to title the painting You Cannot Be Serious. But there are similar works of art of other people, Serena Williams being popular and Venus Williams and Nadal, of course. You know, besides the players I mentioned before, we do have several works of art, and maybe it's because I'm kind of partial to the U.S. Open, living fairly close by. We have several, I think, and I bought several of these for myself, and where I am right now, there's two on the wall. Several works of art of the U.S. Open, Flushing Meadows, but we also have Newport, and we also have Wimbledon and Monte Carlo and Roland Garros and all the great, you know, stadiums.
And
we also have some fun stuff that we threw in there just kind of for laughs. Anybody browsing through the site? There is that famous British saying called keep calm and carry on. Someone took a spin on it and wrote keep calm and play tennis.
Yes.
Okay, so we do have, there is a picture of a tennis elbow in there,
mm-hmm.
incidentally with a zero price, because no one's actually going to buy that. But we threw a couple of fun, kind of quirky things. There's a tennis court suspended in water, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's just for laughs. And, you know, we thought we'd just throw in some more fun.
Yes, you absolutely did, yes. Yes, so the site is entertaining as well.
We try to make it, but the thing people don't realize, and maybe some of your guests would like to know this, besides having some famous artists, there are a lot of people who are obviously not famous, and, you know, these past couple of years, I know particularly the last month or two on Long Island, and certainly with the economy, we realized that things are tough for a lot of people. And we actually lowered in December, really after the hurricane, you know, hit us, we actually lowered prices on a lot of paintings. And my role was to contact each artist and each gallery and to see if they would drop the price. And many of them actually did. So we tried to make it more affordable. The other thing which the viewers or the listeners may not realize is, and I find fascinating, is the types of people who paint tennis that are not artists as a profession. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. That is very interesting.
In other words,
yes.
I found even in Huntington, Long Island, I found a dentist, an oral surgeon, a Dr. Palomini, who does amazing work. And this is truly just a hobby for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he did an original work of art that's called Match Point, which I think is unbelievable. We have another... there's actually two other doctors, one in Arizona and one in California, that also have a passion for tennis, and they mm-hmm. also have a hobby painting. So it's kind of unique. There's actually another person who, believe it or not, is a rocket scientist, and she has always, you know, sort of like myself, she has always loved the sport. She has always played the sport. And as a hobby, even though she's an extremely bright technical person, as a hobby, she's done some works of Andy Roddick and James Blake and some other people out there.
So that is very interesting. Yeah.
Very interesting to find not only who likes painting what, but also what these people who do paint, what they're all about. And it could be someone who, again, is a doctor. It could be someone who's a lawyer. It could be someone who's an electrician, but his hobby is painting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are professionals out there, and there's also, like, you referred to, like, the mom and pops out there. There are mm-hmm. also the housewives and unfortunately the people who are unemployed and all different people from all different, economic points who love tennis. And,
yeah.
And they do also have a very special talent for painting. So I just thought personally that was a very interesting find, you know, in the past couple of years. There's a guy in Israel who... was painting when rockets were coming down on his country.
Wow.
And he was painting pictures of Roger Federer because that's his number one, player. And,
mm-hmm.
He told me he was painting pictures of Roger and he heard rockets landing.
Wow.
So there's people all over the world who love the sport. And I always thought it's one of these sports which can bring people together who peacefully want to coexist with each other. They all love the game. And I always thought as an individual, let's face it, you can play golf, but there's a million different golf courses out there. And they're all set up separate, differently. And I don't think there's any two golf courses in the world that are exactly alike. But tennis, the court's the same. The boundaries are the same, the dimensions are the same, the colors may be different, but it's the same sport, and it's played by so many people in so many countries, and again, there's the professional level, and there's everybody else, and we try to cater to, both of those. We've had some professionals buy, some works of art. Let's say we had a Leroy Neiman, who was a famous artist back in the days, or someone else, Romero Brito. We've had some famous, like, artists and tennis foundations buy works of art. But I think what's interesting is the people who are young, particularly children, and it honestly gives me a lot of joy, even though there may be not much money or profit involved, to know that a kid is going to have that gorilla playing tennis, on his wall.
Right.
And that's going to bring a smile to the kid's face. Or whether it's the Mickey Mouse or the Babar or even the crazy one like the cow playing tennis. Whatever it is, it's going to inspire people in some way. And I just thought that's a nice part of what we're doing.
Yes, very well said, absolutely. My two cents, I think you need a little section on your website that tells stories about your artists because I find that very interesting, and I think that kind of know, would help people looking at your site kind of relate to the art or artist.
It probably would. Yeah, that's a great idea.
I think that would interest me a lot more too, you know, reading about the artist and kind of their background and how, you know, maybe what inspired them to do their work. So one other question I have, and our time is coming to an end here, but
sure.
I'm assuming every artist is associated with tennis somehow, or plays tennis, or is involved.
Most of them, yes. There are honestly probably a couple of people who told me they've never played, but they love watching it. Right.
Awesome.
So I would say everybody out there loves it. I mean, some people have a particular focus. There's a guy in Atlanta who does African art, which basically shows, you know, two people. Actually, there's another one in a particular style that's unique to him and his background. There's a guy in China who, you know, who does his style. The one I like with the heart in Italy, that's his style. So everybody, I think, you know, loves the sport, as you and I both do, and I'm sure Keith as well. But everybody's got their own, you know, thing that they like. Someone may love the sculpture. Another person may love to just drink wine out of a wine glass. Someone may love their favorite player. Someone may just love a scene of a little boy or girl playing tennis. So, you know, the sport is such a great sport. It ties so many people together. All different nationalities, all different economic, you know, conditions, and you know, it's a hard thing to do, but we tried our best to kind of cater to everybody. We didn't want to make it an exclusive site where each painting is $1,000 or more.
Right.
There are plenty of those on the site, but we also want to include a lot of things, even like a paperweight, like to give as a gift. It's not an expensive item. Or a wine glass or a set of glasses or things like that. But as a token of like an appreciation, so many people, like, that's been very popular. As a gift to a friend, to a tennis partner, to a coach. And I think that's what makes people happy.
Yes, very well said. Again, Mike, we're coming to the close of our show. Real quickly, I want you to tell people how they can get in touch with you.
They can get in touch with me. The best place, if I would ask people just to look at the ultimate, www.ultimatetennisart, no spaces in between, ultimatetennisart.com, and like us on Facebook, or they can go directly to Facebook and see some of the works there. We're really fairly new to Facebook, but if they can click that they like it, that would be great. We do have information on the site on how to contact me, my personal phone number, my email address. Very, very easy to order. Most items are shipped within a day or two. We've shipped all over the world. It's kind of been interesting to me because sometimes, like I said, someone in Texas will order a piece of art that's done by a guy in Belgium, and we have to convert the currency. But we take care of that all. It's all through PayPal. 99.9% of the time it's PayPal. It's a very easy process. It's safe. And the response has been great. And we're just trying to do everything we can to bring more artworks to the site. Just please keep in mind that when an original piece of art sells, as many have in the past couple of years, you know, we have to take it off the site. So what's there, and it's about 160, is basically we're always trying to find new things, but when something sells and it's an original, that's it.
Excellent. Mike, I thank you so
much
for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
And I can't believe we're out of time already, and I look forward to speaking with you more in the future.
Great. Thank you again, Natalie. All the best to you. Okay.
All right, thanks. Happy New Year. All right, that was Mike Weinstein of ultimatetennisart.com. ultimatetennisart.com. You can find him at Facebook / ultimatetennisart.com. Just another reminder, if you guys are listening live, we're going to leave you in about 15 seconds. So you'll have to hear the rest of the show by downloading the podcast. And you can do that by going to blogtalkradio.com. Okay. So we will be losing you in a minute. I want to remind everyone, if you missed the beginning of the show, Babylon is doing having an event up here in Dallas at T-Bar Inn. They're going to be having one in Louisiana. It has not been announced yet, so I don't have details on that. They're doing an event where you can go and actually test out their rackets on January 14th and 15th. January 14th, they're looking for players between the ages of 15 and 35. You'll go spend about 20 minutes hitting with their rackets and giving some feedback to their marketing and product development team. And Tuesdays, we're looking for players of any age and to test out their strengths. So any playing level, which is awesome, because, again, they're looking for feedback from people like you and me, the normal people that are out there actually playing every day, you know, and for recreation. And they're looking for lots of people. So if you're interested in that, you can contact me at 281. I'm sorry, contact me at info@thetennisauthority.com. And I guess you can call me too, 281-794-8090. You can have my phone number. And I'll put you in touch with Bob Rash, who is the rep for Battlelot. Looks like we might have a caller. Let's see. Hey, caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hey, do you have a question for me today?
No, I just called to say I like the show.
Well, thank you so much for calling in. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Jersey.
All right. Well, we appreciate you listening. Thanks for calling in.
My name is Keith.
Hi. Thanks, Keith. This is my husband, for everyone. So it is his birthday. So happy birthday. I hope you're having a fantastic day.
Does he have a picture of dogs with footballs?
Well, I've already let him go, so we can't ask him that. But, no, it's ultimate tennis art, babe. So no football pictures. Sorry.
But well,
thanks
like
for calling
yourself,
in. Happy
good.
Birthday. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, that was my husband, everyone. So anyways, we would love to hear from anyone, so feel free to call in anytime. Again, we are on the recorded version now, so we've lost our live listeners, and that's fine. If you have any questions for me, you can contact me again at info@thetennisauthority.com. And show went quick today, and I cannot express, you've got to go see the site if you haven't yet. Very interesting players, and just a reminder to everyone, you can listen to all of our shows by visiting blogtalkradio.com. Do a search for the UR Tennis Network. We have a great show every single day of the week, and something for everyone out there in regards to tennis, and check those out. We'll talk to you next week. We're going to be speaking with a person who has invented this great device called the 8-board. So I cannot wait to talk to him, Mr. Brody himself, and he's got a great product we'll be sharing with you then. All right, thanks everyone for listening. See you on the court, and we'll talk to you next week.